This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, how will Congress deal with Americans who join in with the Islamic terrorists in the Middle East? Texas Senator Ted Cruz put forward a bill earlier this week that answers that very question. He tells us about it. And the president laid out his plan to deal with the Islamic terrorist ISIS. Is Congress on board? Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann joined me with that answer. Also, the Duck commander really ruffled some feathers with his comments on the program this week. The Duck Dynasty patriarch Phil Robertson joined me to spotlight his new book, Unfiltered, The Way I See It. And he was unfiltered, and he did tell it the way he saw it. That's coming up right here on Washington Watch. Let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest and the topics that we are covering. You can also find out more about the upcoming Values Voter Summit coming up September the 26th, 27th, and 28th. Again, that's at the website, tonyperkins.com. Well, in the wake of the beheadings of the two American journalists, Americans have awakened to understand that ISIS is not only a threat in the Middle East, it is a threat to the United States. Now, this threat is becoming even more real as reports detail how more and more Americans are being radicalized and then going to the Middle East and joining with ISIS. At present, these terrorist combatants can legally come back into the United States after fighting with ISIS, and the government can do nothing. Texas Senator Ted Cruz presented a bill this week that would strip U.S. citizenship from any American who joins these terrorists. Here's my interview with Ted Cruz earlier this week. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, my friend, it's always great to join you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about this weekend. You were on ABC this week with George Stephanopoulos, and you said, look, we've got to get serious. We have to take ISIS out. This is not an effort of containment. This is an effort to literally take them out.
That is exactly right. One of the saddest things watching the Obama-Clinton foreign policy unfold is how manifestly unserious it is. President Obama has gotten ISIS wrong from the beginning. He dismissed them as the junior varsity just months ago. They've now seized much of Iraq, and they're consolidating power over a nation state. ISIS is the face of evil. These guys are so extreme, they were thrown out of Al-Qaeda. They are currently crucifying Christians. They are beheading children. They have taken two American journalists and beheaded them on the global scene. A strong commander-in-chief would stand up and say, when you target American citizens to murder American citizens, there will be consequences, and I believe the consequences should be that we should have a concerted campaign of overwhelming air power to take ISIS out, to prevent them from bringing global jihad back to America and murdering innocent Americans.
Senator, as you deal with these, and these are not rational actors. These are not people that you know, the game theory of public policy would work with. These are people who, as you have described, the only thing I can say about the brutality and the depth of the depravity of their actions is it's demonic, in my view. Just it's so evil. It's pure evil. And to say, for the president to say, well, look, we're gonna contain this, but we're not going to put boots on the ground. Now, I know America is weary of war. However, the focus should be not what we're not going to do, but what we are going to do, and that is eliminate this threat to Americans.
Tony, you are exactly right that the focus of the president has not been where it should be. The most consistent feature of the Obama-Clinton foreign policy has been a failure to focus on U.S. national security interest. And instead, what they've conducted is a photo op press release foreign policy. So even now, the president conducts an airstrike here, he drops a bomb there, he fires a missile somewhere else. But it's not focused on accomplishing a specific, concrete military objective. The objective here should not be just some good news stories, which often seems to drive this administration's foreign policy, nor should the objective be resolving the Syrian war, civil war, which has waged on. And just a few months ago, President Obama was urging America to support the rebels who were fighting alongside ISIS.
Right.
Which shows how wrong-headed their foreign policy was. And finally, The objective should not be, as the president has suggested, reaching political reconciliation in Iraq between the Sunnis and the Shiites. This is a sectarian religious civil war that has been waging since 632 AD, since the death of Muhammad. It is the height of hubris and ignorance for the president to suggest that America is going to come in there and resolve a 1,500-year-old religious civil war and cause these warring factions to throw down their arms and embrace his brothers. That's not our objective. Our objective should be what you just said, protecting America by taking out radical terrorists who have declared war on the United States, who have demonstrated their capacity to murder American citizens, mm-hmm. and who have stated their intention to continue to do so and to project jihad here at the homeland. We need to stand up and prevent that.
And make no apologies when we do it, is the way I see it. Senator, you have a measure that you're introducing as we come back to Congress, or you have a measure that you've introduced, dealing with these radicalized Americans. Now, latest count I had was over 150 Americans are actually fighting with ISIS. What do we do with these guys?
Well, that's exactly right, Tony. We know that over 100 Americans have taken up arms and they're fighting with ISIS. I introduced legislation in the Senate that provides that any American who takes up arms and joins ISIS in their terrorist fight has, by so doing, constructively renounced their American citizenship. And so this would strip any American who fights with ISIS of their American citizenship, because it makes no sense to allow people who have chosen to pledge allegiance to radical terrorists who've declared war on America, who are actively killing American citizens, and who intend to murder more American citizens back home. It makes no sense to allow them to come back to this country with American passports, walk freely, and carry out acts of terror.
So, Senator, what this would do, once they take up arms and join ISIS and become an enemy of the United States, they lose their American citizenship, which essentially then shuts the door for them returning.
That is exactly right. And there's an existing statute already on the books which provides certain actions by which a U.S. citizen renounces their citizenship. And what my legislation does is expand that to include joining a foreign terrorist group and taking up arms against the United States. And it is my hope that we will see some real bipartisan agreement in Congress. I spoke on the Senate floor urging colleagues on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, to come together, to put aside our differences and come together and say all of us are united in the need to protect American citizens from radical Islamic terrorists who would seek to murder innocent Americans.
That should be a simple measure that I would think would have bipartisan support, because it clearly puts what Washington should be focused on, and that is national security and the protection of Americans from those who want to kill us. And they've, as you've pointed out, if they take up arms with ISIS, they have clearly indicated they want to harm Americans. That was Senator Ted Cruz. To find out more about what the senator is doing and to find out more about this bill, go to the website TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann joins us to break down the president's speech. Did he convince Congress to follow along in his efforts to take on ISIS? That's coming up next right here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. Hello, this is Tony Perkins. I want to invite you to join me September 26th through the 28th for this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C., as we stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed speakers include Governor Bobby Jindal, Senator Ted Cruz, Governor Mike Huckabee, Senator Rand Paul, Mark Levin, Rick Santorum, David Limbaugh, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, Michelle Bachmann, and many more. Also, don't miss a special gala dinner as we celebrate the release of Maryam Ebrahim, the Sudanese Christian mother imprisoned and willing to die for her Christian faith. Register today for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, let's stand together defending the dream, defining the future. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Council, Liberty Council Action, Liberty Institute, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics and our guests, but you can also sign up for my daily update right there on the website. And this weekend, if you sign up for my update, your name will be entered into a drawing for two tickets to the Values Voter Summit coming up September the 26th, 27th, and 28th. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Wednesday night, President Obama took to the airwaves to try and soothe Americans' growing concerns about the Middle East and ISIS. The question is, did he succeed? I'm not sure he did. He certainly left me scratching my head when he said, quote, "Let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslims," end quote. Well, if ISIL, as the president calls them, is not Muslim, then what are they? Rogue Boy Scouts? They are Sunni militants who are set on killing anyone who does not share their form of Islam. How can we, quote unquote, destroy an enemy, as the president says is his intention, if we won't even acknowledge who our enemy is and what is motivating them? Well, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from the 6th Congressional District of Minnesota joined me with her reaction to the president's speech. Michelle, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me on. And you did such a wonderful job pointing out a couple of the things that the president said last night. We'll get into the whole speech. But specifically, when the president was being the theologian in chief and he said that this is not Islam, ask that of the head of the Islamic State if what he is doing is about Islam. That's all this is about. And their dedication is to wipe out Western Christendom as well as Judaism. That is their goal. Or ask Jihadi John, who beheaded Steve Sotloff and the other photojournalist, James Foley, if this was about Islam. This was exactly done in conformance with their beliefs, not ours, with the jihadist beliefs and view of Islam. So, number one, the president falsely stated that this was not what Islam looks like, or the motivation wasn't Islam. It exactly is. The president was completely wrong. Number two, the president said that this is not a state. They don't have a state. I was in a classified briefing today. The administration put a big map up on the wall showing the Islamic State, their territory that they control. They most certainly do have a state. They have territory that is now under their control. So both of those statements that the president made were completely false, along with a number of other statements. It was really a bizarre speech, Tony. We were all hoping for so much more. And in the classified brief, I will tell you, Democrats weren't happy at all with what the president said. This was a saccharine sugar pill that was driven by his abysmally low poll numbers. He needed to do something because he's perceived as so weak on dealing with Islamic terror. Well, he didn't do himself any favors because he began this speech last night by touting all of his foreign policy successes, which there are none, and then he said that America is safer today. That's absolutely false.
And nobody believes
it
either.
Safer. And this huge issue that we're dealing with, where Christians are being killed, innocent Americans are being beheaded, and the president didn't devote even 7 minutes to the solution. The real problem is that this is a president who doesn't believe in war. So he's not declaring war. He sees this as a law enforcement problem. Minnesota has a number of individuals who have joined the Islamic State. They become terrorists. They're American citizens. They've reentered the United States. When they've come into the United States, Tony, what has been the Obama administration view? They, number one, they let these terrorists back into the United States, and some of them are loose, living their lives, and some of them they've charged with a crime, and they're doing 3 years in jail. Well, this is not breaking and entering. These are enemy combatants who have declared war on the United States. Their passports should be pulled, and they should be prevented from coming into the United States. Today in the classified brief, I asked the White House if they have changed their posture, if they're going to start pulling the passports of these terrorists. They refused to answer the question. Then I asked them, knowing what we know about the intent of the Islamic State to have attacks on the United States, are we now closing our southern border so that ISIS can't come across? Again, they refused to answer my question.
For the president to actually give out the number of people that we're going to send over there, to me, sounds strategically even if you know if you read The Art of War, you know that's not what you do. You don't signal what you're going to do. And then he even goes so far as repeats again that we will not put boots on the ground. He takes that off the table. How can you be serious in that you're going to destroy the enemy, but we'll only go so far?
Well, you just answered your own question. This is a completely unserious strategy. It isn't a strategy for winning. In World War II, we recognized a very evil enemy. And so we put together our resources. We had a leader in Eisenhower and other leaders. We built warplanes. We built jeeps. We put all of the strategy that we needed, and we put all of our might and all of our effort behind defeating the Nazis. And we did it in a stunning 3 years, in a complete and utter defeat. We can do this with the Islamic Jihad. They've declared war on us. They've been at war on us at least since 1979 when the Ayatollah Khomeini went into Iran. They've declared the war against Western Christendom. President Obama, again, eschews war. He's against war. But the Islamists have declared war on us. Rather than treating this as a law enforcement problem, we have to treat this as law. And like World War II, we need to put together our resources. This is an army of 12,000. Let's face it, we can defeat them. What we need to do is to put all of our resources down on the line with America leading. We go in, we defeat these people, we begin by eliminating Baghdadi, then we eliminate his council, and then we eliminate every single person in that army until they wave the white flag of surrender. That's how you win a war, by meaning to.
Yeah, that you're absolutely right. And you will never win a war if you refuse to identify your enemy and know what motivates them. Michelle Bogman, thanks so much for joining us. Good to talk to you today.
Great to talk to you, Tony, and your wonderful audience. Bye-bye.
Again, that was Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, find out why the left's feathers were so ruffled after the Duck Commander joined me this week on Washington Watch. That's coming up next, right here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council. I want to thank you for being a part of our growing radio audience. I'm so encouraged by the positive feedback we've received regarding Washington Watch Radio. Family Research Council is able to produce this unique program because of those who partner with the ongoing work of FRC. I'm constantly told that more Christians need to hear Washington Watch. I agree. Currently, FRC is on a drive to increase the number of supporters involved in our monthly partners program. That will help us expand our reach to more Americans. Will you prayerfully consider partnering with us? Please call 800-225-4008 for more information or to sign up today. Partner with us as we stand for truth here in Washington, D.C. and around the country. Just call 800-225-4008 or go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the donate button to find out more. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Hey, let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about our guests, the topics we've covered. Also, you can find out more information about the Values Voter Summit coming up at the end of this month. Well, earlier this week, as I mentioned, the Duck Commander, Phil Robertson, caused feathers to fly on the left when he just told it like it is. He was telling us about his new book, Unfiltered, The Way I See It, which is just what the interview was. Listen. Phil, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, good to see you there, Tony.
Well, let's talk about this new book. You're unfiltered, and you're telling people what you think.
Well, I thought I'd just clear the air. What is amazing We have now reached the point in the United States, now listen to this, where political correctness has trumped biblical correctness. I'm telling you, we have really messed up and screwed up the United States of America, my man.
Phil, let me ask you about this. I mean, I have great respect for your duck call making abilities. I've got one of your duck calls. I know that that's how you've made your living, but that's not what has made Duck Dynasty so popular beyond anything that people have ever seen before. Is it not the fact that you're not politically correct, that you're just an average family out there living by those values that you talk about that people find refreshing?
Well, I think we're to the point now, and it's been almost a couple of decades now, maybe three decades. It's been a while since Little House on the Prairie and the Waltons. I think in the last 30 years, our culture has slipped down into this cesspool of political correct crap, I call it, that when they saw Duck Dynasty, our family, intact, the amazing thing, Tony, is instead of viewing it as normal, I mean, okay, we have our wives and we're all godly, we fear God, we love our neighbor. Instead of it being characterized or viewed as normal, it was such an aberration that it went ballistic. I think what it is, and I chided A&E about it one time, I said, let me make a guess. When y'all were all sitting around in the boardroom, all you A&E executives, kicking around ideas for a reality show, someone said, well, you know, I know this is way outside the box, but what about maybe if we tried putting a functional family on television? And I said, I'm guessing that everyone looked around and said, you know, Bob, that is a novel idea, but where would you find one? And when I told A&E that, they said, Mr. Robertson, you're not far from about the way it went. We thought, well, you know, what if we did show a functional family on television? So I think you are probably correct in your assessment that once people see a functional family, they think, you know what? I like that.
I'll have to also say this. I think, Phil, is that not only do you portray this normal, you know, and there's more people out there like you in your family, maybe without beards, but, you know, they're out there. But you have been on this, especially last year, you were on the center stage, but you refuse to conform to the forces of political correctness. And that's even caused, I think, the popularity of the Robertson family to increase because they're tired of these cultural bullies who want everybody to conform to this political correctness that they know is destroying the country.
Yep, you're correct. It really is. And, you know, if you just look at the physiological downside to immorality, I mean, a great question to ask is this coincidental that viewing all of the immoral conduct that America now is participating in, I've asked a lot of people, do you think it's a coincidence that all of these debilitating and literally it can cause death diseases follow that kind of conduct? God says, one woman, one man, and everybody said, oh, that's old hat, that's that old Bible stuff. And I'm thinking, well, let's see now. A clean guy, a disease-free guy, and a disease-free woman, they marry and they keep their sex between the two of them. They're not going to get chlamydia and gonorrhea and syphilis and AIDS. It's safe. Now, to me, either it's the wildest coincidence ever that horrible diseases follow immoral conduct, or it's God saying there's a penalty for that kind of conduct. I'm leaning toward there's a penalty toward it. So you read in the Bible, you say, well, let's see, one man, one woman. Any logical person would say what the guy is saying, that'd be me, is if you want to be safe from a lot of debilitating diseases, that's the route to go. And it agrees with what God says, so it's just one argument after another, Tony. But what can I say? All you can do is just show them that and say, man, we might ought to think about this Jesus stuff.
Well, you're absolutely right. And what we do here at the Family Research Council in our social sciences work in Mary is actually show that from the social science standpoint, that God is not some kind of cosmic killjoy. What he's actually doing is say, here's the way to enjoy life. And a part of your story that I think is appealing to so many people is that you didn't always have it right. But once you came to Christ,
I was into sex, drugs, and rock and roll like you haven't seen lately. And you got to remember, my generation is the generation that started the animal rights movement. And they call it the sexual revolution. I just call it the sinful revolution. And I was part of it. And listen, I was just like the ones who are romping on me now. You say, Phil, you were just like they were up until you were 28 years old. Look, I said in my book, I ran from people like me now when I was outside of Jesus and under the control of the evil one. I told somebody, I've run with the wicked for 28 years, and I've run with the godly for the last 40. I said, the contrast is astounding.
Absolutely. Phil, thank you so much for joining us. And let me just say this. I want to thank you for not compromising, but standing firm against the forces of political correctness. And your stand literally encourages hundreds of thousands of Christians to be bold in their faith as well.
Well, everybody out there in the radio land can rest assured that old Rob here, I'm not budging one inch on the Word of God. Biblical correctness is the way to go. Like I said earlier, you can receive peace of mind. I said, look, Obamacare is going to cost you a lot of money. I said, I'm telling you about eternal health care, and it really is free.
Well, I tell you what, Commander, next time I'm up in the north part of the state, I'll stop by and see you and Miss Kay.
All right, we'll go duck hunting, dude.
That was the Duck Commander, Phil Robertson. Interesting, after the interview, liberal bloggers tried to say that Phil attacked homosexuals in his comments. But the amazing thing is he never mentioned them. He talked about sexual morality and how nature backs up God's call for men and women to be faithful in marriage. Of course, we shouldn't be surprised at the left's ability to fabricate. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for joining us for this weekend edition of Washington Watch. And again, let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com, find out more about today's topics. You can also sign up for my daily update, and your name will be entered into a drawing for two tickets to the Values Voter Summit. Again, the website, tonyperkins.com. Well, folks, we're out of time for this week. Thanks so much for being with us, and let me leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared, and you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.